Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, August 10th, 2014. The Reverend John Reed is preaching. Today's sermon is Exercises and Missing the Point. Our gospel reading for today is Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21.
Would you pray with me? Almighty and gracious God, we gather together this day to worship, to sing songs, to offer prayers, to hear your word and meditate upon that word. So we ask now that the meditations of our hearts, the words of this mouth, be pleasing and acceptable to thee, O Lord, our rock, our strength, our redeemer. Amen. When I was getting ready for the worship service today and the sermon, I was thinking about Billy Graham, the quote he had about the U-Haul. You know this one? No matter who you are, you only get a little slice of the world. Have you ever seen a hearse followed by a U-Haul? It kind of fits like the farmer in the story, doesn't it, that goes through. The other thing that he had said is, there is nothing wrong with men possessing riches. The wrong comes when riches possess men. And if a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area of his life. And the parable today is really about missing the whole point about what's going on and what's happening. There were a number of parables. Jesus told actually almost 42 parables, and we've been looking at some of the parables the last few weeks. We looked at the Good Shepherd. We looked at how we should use our resources, our money, the love of God going through. We've looked at a number of things. And we're just kind of touching base on some of these. But the parables and the focus today is about missing the point. And part of it is about what happens, how we view about what our possessions, what our wealth is. One of the things we need to understand as we see this scripture passage is what was taking place. Jesus was traveling from Galilee, or most of his ministry was. And last week we saw he had gone through Samaria, because we talked about the Samaritan village that didn't receive him. And now he's down in Judea. He's going from Galilee down to Jerusalem to get ready for his death. He knows this is his last journey down, and he'll be going to Jerusalem where he will be preaching for that week, and then he will be killed. And so he's traveling this journey down. He's now arrived in Judea. And where he stops, earlier on in this part of Luke, it says that thousands of people have been coming out to hear him. So you've got crowds of people listening to Jesus, and he's been talking up to this point. He's been talking about one's relationship with God, of how God is important, how we push God aside. And in the midst of this sermon that he's giving, a young man stands up and says, "Teacher, tell my brother to give me the family inheritance. Share that. Split it with me." Now, he wasn't talking about money. He wasn't talking about wealth. But this young man stands up. And I think one of the things we can pick up is that whatever had happened in this family, the fact that the young man hadn't received his portion of the inheritance was eating away at him, was just consuming him. I mean, why else would he stand up in the middle of someone's sermon? None of you would do this, I'm sure. I've been interrupted a couple of times in my sermons, usually by my wife, because I've said something wrong. She knew I was saying it, and she'd say, "No, wait a minute," you know, to go through. But he gets up, and he interrupts and says, "Tell my brother." One of the things we need to understand is that there were some times that the eldest son would get everything, but the Mosaic law, which was really enforced in Jesus' day, said that however many sons you had, you would divide your estate, the inheritance would go through, for that many plus one. So if you had four sons, your estate would be divided by five, and the eldest son would get two-fifths, and the rest would get one-fifth. If you had two sons, it would be divided by three, and the eldest would get two-thirds, and the youngest one-third. So whatever had happened with this young man, he hadn't gotten his third of the inheritance. And it was upset. It was eating at him. And we know that a lot of times when a parents pass away, it can divide and destroy families. I can't tell you how many times I've had to talk with families about what has happened. My mother passed away before my dad, and my mom and dad we grew up in Pleasant Hill, and at one point they had to sell their house. They gotten into some financial troubles, and they had to sell their house. They were able to realize enough money to buy a small condominium over in Concord. And that basically was their estate. I mean, my dad was a meat cutter. He four children, sending kids through college. I mean, it always amazed me that when I was going to college, my dad made $14,000 a year in 1960. And according to all the scholarship people, my dad should be giving my brother and I $3,000 each towards college. And then they could live on the rest. I mean, just it amazed me it goes through. I mean, they had no savings. They had no money. So when my mom passed away, my dad was talking about selling the condo and moving to be near my sister or down near my family. And we told my dad that he ought to, you know, invest in some things if he sells the condo. Don't buy something else. And we said, you know, and what you ought to do is if you put it into an annuity, we said, and when you pass away, my older brother and I were saying, we don't really need to worry about the money. We're okay. Why don't you leave it to the grandchildren? Talk with Jim, my younger brother, and Jennifer, my sister, see how they feel about that, and divide it among their grandchildren. Now, my older brother had one child. I had two. My sister had three. My younger brother didn't have any children of going through. And so we said, you need to talk to them. Well, my dad, make a long story short, my dad, about a year later, moved down next to us and passed away a month later and was gone very quickly. And so we gathered together as family. And in going through his things, my dad left, there was an envelope. In the envelope, it said, you know, my will. And I opened it up, and he made me the executor, and he had handwritten out saying, I want any assets I have to be divided among my grandchildren. And he signed his name to it. And my older brother and I were wondering, had he talked with Jim and Jennifer, my brother and sister? And so as we sat together as children, I said, and explained everything, what Jeff and I had mentioned and what my dad had said. And I said, now, and then this is what Dad wrote. But I don't know, did Jennifer, Jim, did they talk to you? Did he talk to you about this? And she goes, no. I said, then I need to know how we feel about it. And my sister says, I don't think it's fair to Jim because he didn't have any children. You know, and there's truth to that. And so we said, so what do we want to do? And they said, well, I think we ought to divide it among the four children. So we said, fine, and we put it aside. I could have said, I don't care what you say, this is what Dad said. I'm the executor. This is what we have to do. And just think what would have happened with the family. You see, if I had done that, and people who forget family, they've missed the whole point of what it means to love and care for one another. And the parable today is about missing the point of what it means to be in relation to God and other people. A couple weeks ago, as we went through this, we talked about, you know, Jesus was asked, what's the most important law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. All the law of the prophets is summed up in these. That's the point of our life, is to love God and love other people and what we do with wealth. And what we have, we're going to look at a couple of parables, and I can't find my sheet, but in your slip, there's a folded over sheet, and the front side says the parable of the rich fool. There's three scripture passages that are listed there. And the three passages are, let me get here, Luke 13, 31 to 21. That's the parable of the rich fool. It's the one that Polly just read. And then there's Luke 12, 35 to 40, which is a parable about watchfulness. And then Luke 12, 42 to 46 is a parable about faithfulness. I don't care which one you pick, but I'd like each of you to pick one of those and to read the passage that's there. Read it through once, and then read it through again, and then what you're going to do is take a minute and just think through an answer to the questions that are up here on the sheet. What's the focus of the main character? What are they centering on? What are they focusing upon? What point or focus are they missing or ignoring or forgetting? And how does the missed point relate to one's relationship with God? I want you to kind of think about that. So we're going to take a few minutes and just do that. So pick one of the passages and then just do that. And then when we finish that, we're going to kind of partner together with one or two other people, and you're just going to kind of share what you read and what you came up with as far as the answers go. Okay? We'll take a few minutes and do that. And gather back, focus back together. Anyone want to share anything of that exercise, anything that that struck them or anything that they were sharing as a group or that they'd like to share with all of us, either insight or anything that took place. David. Okay. It, in a sense, it's just looking at kind of a bit different deal about being aware and watching as we go through. Yeah. How we treat others, what we do with other folks. Anyone else? Share anything.
Well, we kind of agree that it's the same basic theme, and it goes through life. You do what's right because it's right, not because somebody might just didn't do it wrong.
Yeah. It all goes back to the whole point of why are we here? What is it we are doing? And there's a whole, for Christians, it's a whole different reasoning than for the world, so to speak. Not that everyone in the world is selfish and mean and horrible, but as Christians, our whole being alive is to love God with our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, and others. I mean, that's what defines us. But we can see too often, and it's true with some Christians too, that other things define people in this world as we go through. Yes, Howard.
I read in this morning's paper about the stonings of women. Those people think they're right. We know that they're not, but they think they're doing right. And so there's a little caveat to the doing what's right.
Yeah, it goes through, and that's where we go through and we look at things as well. It's probably why we have to look at all of Scripture and all of Jesus' teachings rather than picking one thing here and there and see what would Jesus say about things like that. And we know that's not the way people are to be treated, and shows the need of why we need to be generous with our faith. I'm not speaking just simply about money or our material possessions, but about the grace and love of God. Be generous with others that hopefully they can be touched by that and see it and be redeemed and come to a new understanding as well. As we go through, but it's that's what it's about. As Christians, we have that responsibility to catch the point, not to miss the point. And our society, our culture, it's interesting. As we were reading this, one of the things that I've talked about, and other pastors talk about, and you read about in Christian books and even non-Christian books, looking at how people treat others, is we live in a materialistic society of what I can get, what do I want. Well, the young man here kind of illustrates the same thing was happening in Jesus' day. You know, what can I get? What can I amass? What you know, give me my stuff. You know, and in our world today, it's, you know, how many times do we see commercials that, in essence, they're saying, you want to be happy, pick this hair color. It'll change how you feel about yourself. It'll be wonderful. You, young man, do you want girls? Get Axe deodorant, Axe hair gel, and they'll be falling at your feet. I mean, you know, get this, get that, just be happy. You bought an iPhone last year, you know what, they got a new one this year, get rid of that and get this one. I mean, you know, all the gadgets, it's always more and more and more as we go through. And if we concentrate on that, we realize we miss the point. It's the second part of what Jesus talked about when he said to the young man is our life doesn't consist of the abundance of our possessions. And that's one of the things I think that does hit really hard in our culture society today, where there are billions and billions of dollars spent each year on rental units where we store our stuff that we can't use at home. And I suffer from this. When we moved up here 11 years ago, my father-in-law moved in with us. So we moved two households. He had his house, we had ours. Two households. And if you talk with Paul Hammond, he will tell you, you open my garage and my father-in-law's household stuff is still in my garage. We haven't gotten rid of it. Because, you know, Joy's going to start her own family and, you know, she might be able to use the love seat that's there. That's torn and needs to be recovered, but I can do that, so let's not get rid of it. You know, we've got a bed there that Joy can have. Well, Joy moved into her own place one time and bought her own bed, but we don't want to get rid of it yet. You know, I mean, it's we put things in and yet, what could I do in sharing that with somebody else? Taking it down and donating it. Genesis' house on Saturday had a garage sale. I didn't know about it. I happened to drive by it on Saturday and thought, what if I had taken a lot of our stuff that's still good and usable, bookshelves, some chairs, kitchenware, that we just have stored in the boxes in the two houses. Give it to them and let someone else use it. You know, by hanging on to it, am I missing the point of what it means to be a Christian and all that we're doing? And that's the point of the parable about that farmer as well, as we go through that, is what he was missing. That parable was interesting in the very beginning of when it talks about what the farmer said. And let me come to it. Where did I have it? Oh, I will say to my soul. I mean, that's very telling, isn't it? I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Just his sense of the importance of who he was and what he was doing centered upon himself and what he was doing. If you read that parable, there's in those few lines, six times he says I think it's five times he says my, and he's completely missed the point that to be a faithful person, to be a child of God, means that we are to be generous with what we have. Abraham was told by God that he was blessed so he could be a blessing for others. And that fits for us too. We are blessed not just with our possessions, but with the grace and the love of God so that we can be a blessing to others. So how can we live our lives to be a blessing? Now, you also note the parable did not condemn wealth. Jesus didn't condemn the farmer because he had an abundant harvest. He didn't condemn the man because he had the grain that was stored. But the condemnation came because the man just saw it all for himself. And there's a huge difference that's there. And so we need to remember that our lives need to be more about loving God and how can we be a blessing for others than just sitting and concentrating upon our own selves. And that's the lesson we have. That's what we need to remember. And where we go and show our love and grace of God is by living in that way. Since I have to go through this, the Greek word is pleonexia, which is an insatiable desire for more. And that's what I was talking about, that we need to have this, we need to have this, and have this, and we need to fight against that, so we go other places. Yes, Donna. Mm-hmm. Okay, ask your question one more time.
Yes, there are so many examples about slaves.
About slaves, Mm-hmm. Well, I think the first thing we need to realize is that just because slavery is in Scripture doesn't mean that it was condoned by God. It was the way life was. And I've heard a lot of arguments that slaves were treated much better than a lot of the slaves in the South were at that point. And there may be truth to that, but I'm sure that's a gloss over as well. But I think what we need to do is look at people who are indentured, or people who are at the whim of others, people that rely upon their welfare because of others, because of their position, that are told, that in a sense are enslaved to something else that controls their lives. Right. And so how do we relate to those? What can we do for those that we go through? David.
Contextually, in this, the slave is everybody who's not.
Yeah.
So it's not like there's a difference, because here he says, you know, blessed are the slaves, the best slaves that can go. Yeah. So it's like there's no difference between one here and another.
Yeah. Right. And we need to remember too that in like the parables, Jesus is taking everyday occurrences people can see and relate to, and that's part of your point, is that he wasn't condoning or condemning, but this they could relate to that. And I think for us, it's realizing who is at the, I don't want to say mercy, but who is it that gives these people instructions? Who is it that has authority over them? And so we relate in that way. Does that help make sense a little bit? Sure. Sure. Yeah, we can go along with that. Yes, Jeff. Owner, manager, worker. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, you could. Mm-hmm. Yeah, owner, manager, worker. Sure. And going through with all of those things. So it just comes back that, especially if we are the ones that are the owners or the managers, how are we treating the workers, those that we have authority over? And if we're not the owner or manager, but we're watching things, what can we do to make a difference in the life of those that are in need? And that's what it comes down to. The point of life is to love and care for other people. And how can we do that? How can we be generous with that in our lives today?
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.